This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
And let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this hour of privilege and blessing that you give us every Sunday to be with you and to listen to your word. Open our minds and open our hearts so that we may hear what we need today. Continue to bless us on our way. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It is a pleasure always to be with you. And today, I do need you to pull out your readings, and it looks like on page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, look for Psalm 23, and we're going to read it together. By the way, anybody know this psalm, Psalm 23? Because I had some people tell me at the following Mass that they knew of it, but they didn't know that it was Psalm 23. So let us read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Everybody says amen, because we've mostly done this before. So I did have someone at the end say, you know, I grew up Catholic, and I know the words, but I never knew it was the 23rd Psalm. So if you're like that, I grew up Catholic. I don't know what I knew. I can't remember what I knew or didn't know. But this is probably the most popular of the 150 Psalms, which were ascribed to King David, who was a shepherd at one point in his life and then became a king. That's another story for another day. But basically, he was kind of the well-known king of the Jews at a very important time in the history. So I looked up the history of the psalm, and it said that David composed this psalm after he was like on the run from a King Saul who was intent on murdering him. And he was basically hiding in a dry Judean forest, and he was on the brink of death because he was without water and without food, and miraculously was saved by God. And God is G/D, because the Jews, at least the very conservative Jews, you never write the name of God, because God's more powerful than just being on a piece of paper. Anyhow, God nourished him, and he thought about his life, but also the lives of Jews as they walked through those 40 years in the desert trying to find the promised land. And so David sings, not just for himself, but for all Jews. And for us, really, we adopted, right? We are basically Jewish Christians. We adopted what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, as our First Testament, and our Second Testament, the Christian Scriptures, which we read from every week, right? So we had this for our psalm today at the earlier service. So anyhow, what I learned was I was in a class. It was a 9-week class that you go through in order to be a priest, called CPE. It was pastoral care, right? So you had to go through at least that point 9 weeks down at Jackson Hospital in Miami, Trauma One Hospital, big time. Kind of a MASH unit for Miami. People are coming in by ambulance and by a lot of helicopters, just constantly a lot of big trauma, a lot of folks that needed immediate surgery, a lot of really kind of bad accident cases. And anyhow, in those 9 weeks, we were taught to go out to rooms in this hospital and speak to people, as I was a deacon at that point. And there were other students from other faiths that were doing the same thing, kind of learn the ropes of hospital work, as well as being around people when things were really bad, right? And sometimes death, right? So it kind of introduced us to that, and we had a really good teacher who taught us a lot of good stuff. And at one point, I don't know, halfway through, she said, okay, so today it's just going by yourself. Pick somebody and go with them, right? So there were these two rabbinical students, these two young rabbis. And I remember one, he looked like he was 12 years old. His name was Simcha. And he was a conservative Jew, and he had the little curls and he had his yarmulke on and a whole bit. And a wonderful young guy, big happy face. And so one day I went with him. And so we would go into some Christian people, right? You would just go and say, would you like a visit today? And if people were open, we'd go in and talk to them, right? And then he had a list of the Jewish people in the hospital, and he would go to those rooms, and I would just follow and kind of shadow. And basically, every single time we went to a room, at some point in that, they call it a conference, but they would speak to their people, ask what's going on, and then at some point, they would recite together this psalm, Psalm 23. Why? Because it's a wonderful psalm. It's a song full of comfort when you're sorrowful, when you're lonely, when you're scared, and or when there's death, and when you're joyful, for that matter. And anyhow, I just saw people's faces. You know, most of them are in there for surgery or something that's not, you know, wonderful, and their faces would just like melt and just kind of calm down as their rabbi spoke to them. And then I went with the other lady. She was a young lady. She was in the very liberal end of the Jewish faith at that point. Reformed, I think, is what they called. And same thing. Go in, talk, you know, if the people invited us in. And we would always get around to Psalm 23. So I came to really appreciate it. Most Jews, most of the people I met there, they knew it by heart. It was like, for us, our Father. And so when I went into rooms, if nothing else could be said, because sometimes people were very sick, we would say the our Father. You could see people that were close to being, you know, out of touch, repeating the words of the our Father. I even learned it in Spanish, because Miami, you say Padre Nuestro, Father, you know, and you start out and they would say it, because it's just a... it's a comfort. So the 23rd Psalm is ascribed to David at this point. He was once a shepherd. He became a king. And here we have a king speaking the words, right, of who the true shepherd is in their lives. And for the Jewish folks, in those ancient days, a shepherd was a very important person for the sheep, right? Because the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. It's a very close connection. There's still a great connection for us. We, as Christians, we say the good shepherd. They kind of said the true shepherd. And David even acknowledged as king that we should not place our essential trust in any ruler, in any earthly ruler. We should place our trust in the creator of the cosmos. God, G-D, who is with us always. As the psalmist continues, then it goes on. The sheep are guided along right pathways, and we come to the midpoint of the psalm, kind of the crux of the psalm, the valley of the shadow of death. This is great poetry. This is a great song, the very structure that places it in the middle, right? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I what? Fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No wonder everybody loves this psalm, right? Trusting God is the central theme of this Psalm 23. As sheep trust the shepherd to guide them through that valley, the shadow of death, right? So for the sheep, it is a dark valley, right? If they're in this deep. And for us, in modern times, it's really any time of great change in our life. Think about it. In the hospital, it's always surgery, pain, disease, hearing cancer, you know, and maybe death, right? So there are heavy-duty issues that huge changes that change your life. And I would add divorces, right? Vulnerability as you get older, even going from a big switch from working world to retirement world. It's a big shift, and it's fearful, right? And it can feel a little lonely and vulnerable. So the valley of the shadow of death takes different forms in our lives. But before we go through the valley, we have to take a moment. And we have this moment right now. We have this hour, right, of quiet, and we can think about things. And so I suggest, or I recommend, or I highly encourage, right, that we think about trusting God before we go through our next valley. Because we know we're going to go through valleys, just life, part of life, right? That we look back on our lives and go, you know what? I got through this. Whether I know it or not, I got through this, I got through this, I got through this, I got through this. I don't care if you're 12 years old or if you're like me, almost 125 or something, which it feels like, right? You know, we used to do youth group and the kids, the 12-year-olds would come up and go, McManus, they call me McManus. McManus, how old are you? I go, 145. And they go, okay. And they walk away, right? You know, because they got no concept, you know. So back to what I was saying, the valley of the shadow of death, right, takes on different forms. And we have to realize that God has gotten us through here, 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 and you kind of put it together. It's like a bead, like a bunch of beads, right? And now we're here. Now, whether you realize God got you through that, that's a whole other thing. But as we have time to contemplate, we really got to start thinking like that. I have, and I didn't always think like that. I thought it was all me, right? I got me through that and that and that. I struggled through. I tore my hair out. That's why I don't have any. You know, that type of thing. We got through it. My wife and I, we got through it. Let's be honest. I mean, we've got some gifts, and yes, that helped us get through, but God kind of just places you, and then so you can, when you finally realize that God's in your life, that God got you through. And so David, in his terrible situation of his valley of the shadow of death, realized, it's not me, it was God. And so that's why he writes this psalm. So every day we find ourselves with people who know the valley too well. There's people that they don't know how they're going to make it through the next week. Sometimes the next 24 hours, right? I don't know if you've met them, I have. And they generally do. I mean, But that's how their lives are so deep in the valley. It's just kind of a terrible thing. And I was saying last Monday, before I even looked at the readings yet, I don't look usually till Tuesday, I take a day off. But anyhow, I got three phone calls, like bang, bang, bang. And it was, one was breakup of a marriage, someone from the family. Second was another one saying, my rent just went up. I'm paying $17.50 a month. I can't afford another dollar. And if I leave, you know, I got to have security. I don't have that. So how am I going to get through it? And then the third person said they were in a minor car accident. Kind of like our friend, well, that's a major car accident. But same sort of issues, you know, kind of hurting and So, you know, I did what I could. I listened. I tried to encourage. But did I really change anything? And then it reminded me, after reading the gospel, how Jesus is asking the apostles, come away. We're so busy. We need to go rest. I think I heard you laugh when Father Marty was reading it. And you get, they get across the shore, and what? Bam! Here it comes. The crowds know about it. The coconut telegraph along the shore has said, oh, he's going over there, and they all race over there. And Jesus gets off the boat and does what? He didn't do what I did. He didn't hang up his phone for the night. He had compassion. Oh my God, you get the gold star. Thank you, Dee, for being here today. Compassion, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Again, that theme. And then he spoke to them and reassured them, right? He gave them the gift of what? Presence, his presence. So, our scripture talks about how the love of God is always with us all the time, but to remind us, as we're sitting here today, to trust God, not just all the time, right? God is good all the time, right? But to trust God in the valley. So when you're in the valley, or when your friend's in the valley, or when your child's in the valley, you have to be reminded, remind yourself to trust God then too. Because God got you through all those other valleys, right? So you just add another bead to the set of pearls of what God's done for you. So what can we do, right? So today, what can we do? What are we called to do as followers of Jesus? In the gospel today, the disciples were coming back to Jesus because he had sent them out, and they told him everything that they had said, and they learned, and they talked to people, and that's, we are called, we are sent out. And what we can do is, we can do what? What Dee said, show compassion. And sometimes you can't do anything, right? I can't necessarily help my sister with her rent, or my other sister with her car accident, right? But I can listen. That presence sometimes is all that's needed. A lot of times when people are in the, they're deep into that valley or into the problem, and they're in that kind of angst of the situation, a lot of times just letting someone listen to you has a healing presence. And if you remember, if you think, when's the last time when you spoke to someone and they actually didn't say a word? They didn't go, yeah, I've been through that. They just listened. How powerful that is. So that's, your presence is the present, right? Think about that. Try that sometime if you're not that person, and then let them walk away and go, wow, they really listened to me. We can offer our presence. We can also offer the listening ear. Sometimes we can offer a hug. And a lot of times, whatever we say, it doesn't really matter because the advice doesn't necessarily going to help them at that moment. Beyond that, we can ask others to join us here at worship at this quiet, holy space that we get to enjoy every Sunday at 11:45 to 12:45, right? I love it. This is wonderful for me. I get to hear great musicians and then get to be here and sing and just enjoy this quiet space where my mind can expand. I get to hear a great sermon from Marty, it's very important that once a week we do this, and bring your friends, right? And then if you're not one of those people, there's a third thing you can do. When you see new people, welcome them. So there's usually people saying, welcome, welcome, as you come in. But If you're not that person, and if you're not the person to go invite, you can be the person that says, welcome, or shake hands at the sign of peace and offer peace, right? It's important. Everybody that walks in this church needs something, right? I need it. I don't think I would admit that 20 years ago, but I needed it, and I still need it. So anyhow, so let's get back to this room. Because God is the host, and I think when Marty does his service, he does a better job at saying, please come forward, because this is the Lord's table. I mean, we are the ministers of the table, but at communion and in this church, the Lord is the host. We are but the kind of disciples doing the stuff that he asks us to do, right? So in summary, surely there's no doubt that we and those we love will face uncertainty, will face the shadow of death, right? Or we'll face just shadow of a whole bunch of kind of bad things in our lives, because that's just life, right? But by placing our essential trust in the Good Shepherd, trust in God, we prepare for these unpredictable things that will happen to us in our lives, right? And no matter what we face in the valley of the shadow of death, we trust God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Amen.